Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, fellas, ladies. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Let's just take a minute and just pray again corporately. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come here, Lord, to hear from you. And that's what we came to hear, Lord, is from you. We want to hear you. We want to understand you, Lord, and we want to be changed into your image and likeness. So we surrender to you. We give full place to you. Holy Spirit, you take control. We invite you to come now in Jesus' name and cause God's will, our Father's will, to be done on earth, in this place, in us, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that I really appreciate about God is, and you know, this is so amazing, even when we screw up, and that's exactly the words I wanted to use, God comes in the nighttime, or any time really, but sometimes in the nighttime, and he gently and lovingly wakes us up, and he begins to speak to our hearts. And that happened to me this past Tuesday morning at 3:30 in the morning for about an hour, hour and a half. And last Wednesday night, as I was sitting here and Bob was ministering, I heard the words and wrote them down, cracks in your foundation. Well, you know, it brings great peace and comfort to me to know that God cares enough and loves us enough that when we make a mistake, when we mess up, knowingly or unknowingly, that God's there and he cares and he still loves us. And how we know that is the fact that he takes the time to come to us. Imagine, he comes to us to tell us, you know, that probably wasn't the best thing you ever did, or you may have messed up there, or, you know, hey, there's a better way. But through that, he's demonstrating his love towards us. And one of the things that God has helped me extremely to walk in is in that forgiveness, even of myself, and not to take heart that I made a mistake, but that his plan for me, his plan for you, his thoughts are for good and not for evil, that are prosper and not to harm you. When he comes in the middle of the night, it's to make sure that you and your soul prosper. It's not to ridicule you and tear you down and tell you you got one foot in the lake of fire and one foot out here. One more step and you or step on a banana peel and you're gone. No, that's not God. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And yeah, sometimes it doesn't seem pleasant, but on the other hand, it brings great comfort, great joy, and great peace to my heart when he does that. And so that's where this message came from. I sat down here the other morning, I think it was Tuesday morning, just God put these verses in my heart, you know, spoke to me some things. So I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 10 through 23. And I found some tremendous words here and some tremendous peace in this scripture. And I also got some insight. And I was blessed by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 10 through 23. And it talks about foundation. You know, we have a foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ, that we're built upon. And he has put in us the things that we need. On the other hand, with that, he also understands that we are going to make mistakes along the way. Sometimes, because of our emotions and our will, we're going to make mistakes on purpose. And what we're talking about here, and this is where the are there any cracks in your foundation, which is the title of the message, came from. And I realized that I've got some cracks in my foundation. Doesn't mean that I don't have a good foundation, but I've got some places where it needs to be sealed up, shored up, in some changes that need to be made to make that foundation continue to be strong so that those cracks don't get wider. Does that make any sense to anybody? So let's start with verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now listen carefully, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Christ is the foundation. His words, the Word of God, the Bible, what we have, that is the foundation. Amen? We've got a solid foundation. It's been poured. It's been allowed to set and cure and become strong. But you know that with time and weather and things like that, attacks, you know, foundations sometimes can be a little weathered, you know, maybe get a crack or two in them. Our job is to guard our hearts and to not let those cracks become something that is shaking our foundation or lets our foundation be shakable. Amen? Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be rewarded or revealed by fire. It will be revealed by fire. There will be things that happen. There will be situations, trials and things that come, temptations, and it will be tried by fire. And it's not so that he can point out where you're missing the mark. In other words, accusatorily, we're pointing a finger of accusation, but to show you where you need to shore up your foundation. Amen? Verse 13. We ended with, let's just look at 12 again, and then we'll go on to 13. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Okay? If anyone's work in verse 14, which he has built on, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Listen carefully. I want you all to hear this with your spirits and take note of it. Verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. You know, most of us, in fact, I think everyone in this room has the kind of heart that when we mess up or we make a mistake or do something, you know, our heart is wounded. And sometimes it's hard for us to take that, to deal with that. But God's not running us down. He's not putting us down. He's not trying to expose us. He's not trying to embarrass us. He loves us, so He's trying to speak to our hearts to keep us going. And even if we make the mistakes and everything we've done is burned up in the end, the fire, what does the Scripture say? Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Okay, so the fire burned up those works. That doesn't mean you're not going to make it to heaven. But the key is obviously remembering that when God began to deal with me Tuesday morning, I began to see, man, I messed up. I messed up big time. Now, it wasn't something that I deliberately set out to do. In a way, yes. In a way, no. It was innocent, or what I thought was innocent. But it really wasn't innocent, because I was looking through my eyes and my emotions, not the eyes of God and the wisdom of God. And I'm going to tell you what it was here in a few minutes here. Anyone? Verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Well, basically what happened is God woke me up and spoke to me because there was a crack in my foundation. In my right mind, or if my emotions hadn't gotten involved, I would have never done this. I would have never done this. Because it not only hurt me, but more than that, it hurt one that was very close to me, very dear to me, that I love dearly. And they don't even know it yet. Did you hear me? They don't even know it yet. But I know it. So now what have I got to do? I got to repent, and I've got to trust God that He'll turn what was meant for the damage of that individual and the damage to some relationships surrounding that individual will turn it to good. Amen? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, remember, temper that, what you just read in 17, with verse 15. We're talking about works here. And that's what the judgment seat of Christ is about, judging the works. Not judging or determining whether you're saved or not, it's determining the works that you did on this earth. What you did with the knowledge you had, how you acted with it, how you treated it, how you esteemed it, how you revered it, how you held on to it, how important it was to you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, he will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become as a fool, that he may become wise. Don't rely on what you think if it's not tempered with and based on the Word of God. Remember, there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction or death. What kind of death are we talking about? Ultimate spiritual death, but that's nothing we have to, as believers and the people in this house, have to be concerned about. We have to believe, you know, be concerned about the fact that we've got a crack in our foundation, and when the storms come, it could be something that will cause our house to shake a little bit rather than still be solid. Or our lives, if you will. All right. Let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God's not impressed by our knowledge. Yes, he gave us a mind. He gave us emotions and things. But he's not impressed with our knowledge. What impresses God is when we operate, make the determination, we're not going to believe, listen to, walk in, consider any other thing except what he says. And that's part of the wood, hay, and stubble that's going to be burned up. Amen? Is the foolishness, the foolish thoughts, the foolish things that we do inadvertently. But the point is, if we can take care of this and we'll allow him to speak to us, if we'll understand his love as it comes to us to wake us up in the middle of the night, we will walk in victory. And those things will become distant memories or completely forgotten. Because he's already taken it from us if we'll just repent, buried it in the deepest sea, removed it as far as the east is from the west, and that's a perpetual thing from the day you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior and Lord. I believe you're the Son of God, born of a virgin, and I need you in my life. That's taken care of. Okay? So now what we concentrate on is being obedient. And sometimes when we miss it, because he is an advocate, like the scripture says, he comes to us to bring his loving arms, put them around us and say, you know what? I don't think we did the right thing there. He doesn't come to us and say, well, you rotten old ugly thing. You messed up. You really done it now. You know, you just wait. No. A person who loves you will come to you even in the middle of the night and says, you know what? I'm a little concerned. And sets you back on the right road. Amen. Sets you back in the right place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Being wise in your own eyes is futile. Thinking you know, or you have the answer, when everybody else, and that everybody else is wrong, or that you don't acknowledge when you make a mistake. And again, it could be something that's totally, totally, you know, just it caught you by surprise. Remember that God's not caught by surprise. He loves you, and he's always watching out for you. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. Amen? And you are always before his eyes. You are the apple of his eye. Isn't that right? If you're not sure about that, then you need to just vocally right now say, I am the apple of his eye. He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again in verse 20, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Okay. Therefore, verse 21, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. Folks, that's a promise of God. All are yours. Remember Jesus said, he said, God, you've given them to me, and I've given them back, but he's also given to us the keys of the kingdom, the power and authority, the dominion to operate in this life. Now, he's not going to invest those things in someone who is obviously going to never make it, right? See, can I tell you something? I'm just going to tattle on myself here a little bit again, too. You know, one of the things that Stan has said to me probably one of the last three times, and he said it all three times, even though I felt that I was a total failure, a total screw-up, a total mess, is he said, Bill, I've still got confidence in you. Now, what was he saying? Is his confidence in me, or is his confidence in the God, the Christ that's in me, and the heart that I have for God? Pretty obvious, isn't it? It was in God, the power of God, the authority of God, and the fact that I'm going to let God do what God wants to do in my life. Amen? That blesses me. And that's the kind of friend and the kind of attitude we all need to have toward one another and in every situation. Let's face it. We make mistakes. We do things. We have attitudes and thoughts that they're crazy. They're not based on the Word. They're based on emotions and whatever else, you know, things that the enemy puts there that he tries to overrun you with. Remember what it says in James, the first chapter. Let no man say when he is tempted or tested and tried, I am tested or tried by God. For God is not tested or tried with evil, nor does he test or try any man. But every man is tested or tried when he is led away of his own lust and enticed. Okay? And I would caution anybody here, don't let the enemy tell you you've done something wrong or you're in the wrong or you're facing judgment because of something that you can't even explain why you feel that way or why you think that. It's certainly not based on the Word. It's based on human reasoning and emotions. And those emotions are deceitful. There is no truth in them. And if you don't get free from them, it's your fault. That's why we run to the Word. That's why we come to church. That's why we get in the Bible. Why we spend time with Him. It's so He can minister to us. Even wake us up in the middle of the night and say, you know what? Let me tell you something. It's okay, but let's do it a little different in the future. I'm going to finish this and then I'm going to tell you where all this came from and what spurred this on. And verse 23 says, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God. You are Christ's, and Christ is God. Okay, Bill, we've gone through all this. Now, what is this all about? Monday night, the kids came over, all three grandkids and their parents came over. And I'm a person who has deep, deep feelings. I care about people. I especially care about my grandkids and my kids. And which basically, you know, as the head of this house, I mean, I have the same feelings for y'all. And sometimes when I see things that don't exactly set well with me or that make me uncomfortable or I feel somebody's been done wrong to, did you hear me say, I feel? It strikes an emotion or a chord in me, and sometimes I act stupid. I do something I shouldn't be doing, cracking my foundation. Kylie was sitting there at the dinner table, or she was just done with her dinner, and they were getting ready to get dressed and go out. And some things were being said back and forth, and there was some teasing. But the reaction on a couple people's part wounded my granddaughter. Well, you know what that did to me. It didn't send me in a tailspin, but it wounded me. I was upset. The question comes, Bill, do you trust me? Am I really the one who's the author and finisher of your faith? Am I really the one who works all things together for good? Am I the one that makes those things that were meant for your harm turn to good, and not only for you, but for those that you love? Am I the one who's in control? Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Then trust me. Trust me. What God was wanting to do by ministering to me by the Holy Spirit in the middle of the night is give me the mortar and the stuff to fix that crack in my foundation. What did I do wrong? Well, later on in the evening when they came back, Connie was sitting there eating a candy bar. And of course, her mom and dad try to be very careful about what the kids eat. They don't deny them candy, but they try to make sure they don't eat a lot of sweets. And they're right. Bless God, bless their hearts, they're right. But here's old Grandpa with his infinite wisdom, and he's Grandpa, but I have a right to spoil my kids, my grandkids. No. What I did was 110% wrong. I sinned against them, against me, and against God. So I realize you can't sin against people, but you can do the wrong thing that could bring harm. So what did I do? We were sitting there. Her dad was sitting, Kylie's dad, Charles, was sitting next to me right here. And my niece had brought a little tray of what they call two-bite brownies. And so I pulled one out, and I had a bite of it. And the girls were looking longingly at it. So I broke one in half and gave one right in front of her mom and dad, their mom and dad. Give a little piece to Ariana. But they were giving Kylie a hard time. Now, I understand why they give Kylie a hard time. Kylie's starting to get, because she's not one who's, she likes to sit and read, she likes to be involved with the computer, things like that. So she doesn't get the kind of exercise she really needs. So she's starting to get a little bit of a tummy. A little bit. And bless God, if you guys could see Joanna, she's doing well. She's losing weight like mad. She's looking terrific. Praise God. And here's old Grandpa. And Grandpa decides, oh, I don't like what was just said there, and I don't like it. And she's looking for it. She's disappointed. So I'm going to make it right. And all I did was make it wrong. Because what I did was something that was diametrically opposed to the plan, the authority, and the will that God gave her mom and dad. I sinned, and I taught her to be disobedient, to be sneaky and deceptive. Now, that wasn't my plan. I love her. I love them. But what I did was wrong. And God dealt with me for a long time on Tuesday morning about that. That's where this message came from. A crack in the foundation. Sometimes we do things not meaning to, or not even really understanding for the moment that what we did, but we did it by impulse or by emotion or by our own thoughts or wisdom, and we didn't even think about or didn't catch that it was totally 100% wrong. And in not only doing so, you defiled you, but you might have defiled, or the opportunity was there to defile somebody else. Are you with me so far? My heart was wounded and broken. I did her a disservice. I did my granddaughter that I love dearly, that I would never bring any harm to, and yet what just happened? I opened the door for harm to come to her. Do you understand? Turn with me to Ephesians 2nd chapter, 19th to the 22nd verse. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 19th through the 22nd verse. Christ is our cornerstone. I can't remember the whole scripture. Maybe somebody can help me out. Patrick or Terry or Bill or Donna or Gene. Well, Holy Spirit, bring it back to my remembrance. Even the part that I was thinking about just escaped me. He's our cornerstone. Oh, I know what it was. It's the scripture that talks about so that you cannot do the things that you would. I believe that might be in James, if I'm not mistaken. Might be part of James chapter 1. But anyway, so here I am, so God's dealing with me. I didn't feel like I'd been stomped on. I didn't feel like I'd been, but I was ashamed. I was ashamed. God, I did wrong. I'm sorry. God, I forgive me. I did wrong. I did something really wrong here. I undermined her parents, who are the ones who God has given the responsibility of bringing up that little girl and those little girls. And I did wrong. But I'm the grandpa. Oh, now that's a good excuse. That's a real good excuse for a moron. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The good question would have been about the time that this stuff was going through my mind and I was perpetrating this deed would be, what would Jesus do? Verse 20, having been built on the foundation, okay, we read that. Verse 21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. I defiled the temple. I not only defiled my temple, I defiled another temple. Again, I didn't mean to, but that doesn't mean the damage wasn't done, or the potential for the damage to be done wasn't there. So what do? I dig a hole and just say, oh my God, that's it. I'm done. I've messed up. That's, God will never look at me again, and run and hide in a hole. Or do I say, God, I'm sorry. See, I want to make it right because I don't want to be separated from Him. I don't want Him to stop coming to me in the middle of the night, speaking to my heart, showing me, either telling me, man, here's a blessing, I just want to share it with you, or, Bill, I don't think that probably was the proper thing to do. And you know what? I don't care one way or the other which way He comes, because I know He comes of love. He comes because He cares, because He has thoughts and plans for me. I look for, We should be looking for a city who has, that has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Did you hear that? That didn't say you were. It doesn't say you are. It says it's ongoing. It's ongoing. That's why I keep coming to church. I hadn't got it right yet. I make mistakes. I do things. Again, not knowingly, almost all the time, but inadvertently, things that because of emotions and because of thoughts that I have and because of compassion. This is why emotions are so dangerous. It's because your emotions will deceive you. They are deceitful because they're based on flesh, the mind, will, and emotions, the seat of appetites of our lives. And if they're not controlled by the Spirit, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. It's a given. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together, being built in progress, ongoing process, for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Are you with me so far? Now, maybe God's already dealing with some of you about some of the places where you might have messed up, where you might have not exactly done the right thing or had the right thought, or something caused you to violate the Word of God or violate what you know is right, even though you didn't know it for the moment. But God came to you and He's trying to say, I love you and I don't want anything to happen to you. Here's a better way to do it. Follow my word. Let me continue to build. If He's the potter and we're the clay, then what happens when there gets something that's a blemish in the clay? What does He do? Now, He may just be able to take some water and maybe a little more clay and smooth it out, or He may just and start all over again. But He didn't throw the clay away, did He? How many have ever worked with pottery in school or whatever? A lot of fun. But since God didn't call me to be a potter, I don't do that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 21. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. Is this helping anyone? Is this bringing some insight to anybody? I'm telling you, I'm excited. I told Gene, I said, I can't wait to hear this message. Because I know I didn't have it all down when I got here. I just had some scriptures and some thoughts. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. I think it's interesting, the caption that I have here, I have two captions. 17 to 19, the caption above it is instructions to the rich. And then verse 20 and 21 is guard the faith. Here's what it says, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Now that rich could be not just wealth or monetary riches. It could be the blessings of God, where you get just a little bit uppity, a little bit high-minded. Well, don't you know God already worked that out and told me that? I've got the answer for that. Okay. I'll get the Holy Spirit take that the rest of the way. Not to be haughty or to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen? Then in verse 20 he says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings, and contradictions of what is falsely called, did you hear that? What is falsely called knowledge. Way that seems right, but the end thereof is not good. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. That false knowledge, because of that false knowledge, some have strayed from the faith, or concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, I'm sure every one of you can think about places where maybe you inadvertently made a mistake. Maybe it's in the past. Maybe it's within this past week. Maybe it was even today. Okay, Harry. Praise the Lord. God tells us in the Word and shows us a picture of standing in front of a mirror, seeing in the mirror what and who we are, but as soon as we turn away, we forget, the Scripture says, what manner of man we are. Now, he's talking about what manner of man. That's physical. The Bible reminds us that in our flesh, in us, there dwells no good thing. It's only because of the presence of God, the Word of God, which brings knowledge and insight and enlightenment, that we understand and we can see who we are and we can walk the walk that God has set before us. Isn't that right? So as you think about this, I encourage you, don't let the enemy beat you up, tear you down, and make a mockery out of the Word of God in your life concerning whatever it is that you're being shown. Run to Him. Lay yourself bare. Remember the picture of David when he found out. I mean, here was a man who, we know the story. He saw this woman bathing on a lower terrace, lusted after her in his heart, devised a plan, and this was willingly, folks. He knew better. You can't tell me he didn't know better. I know he did, because he was a man after God's heart. He knew God. But his lust got in the way. So he devised a plan through wickedness, through leaning to his own understanding, to have her husband go out and be killed in battle. It's not my fault. And yet it was his fault. And then he took the wife based on lust. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hear echoing in my ears, and I'm reminded of the Scripture that says, your secret sins will find you out. Now, in this case, Israel didn't know, may never have known what he did. But God knew, and he sent the man of God, the prophet of God, to him and said, David, what would you do? What would you do if this and this and this happened? And David, wanting to put it out of his mind, had already, you know, pushed it aside. And he got indignant. He got angry because he knew it was wrong. And he said, "Where this man, bring this man before me and I'll put him to death this very hour." Now, that may not be exactly what he said, but y'all have read the story, so you know where I'm coming from and what I'm saying. And the prophet looked at him and he said, David, you're that man. And his reaction wasn't, you just died, prophet. You're dead. I'll fix you. But he immediately broke out crying and crying out, and then went, tore his clothes, and repented in sackcloth and ashes. Repented in sackcloth and ashes. That's what it's about, folks. And he wasn't even living in the time of grace that you and I are living in. Remember, God said, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. You don't get what you deserve. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 through 27. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Listen carefully. Take heed to the Word. God's giving you the equipment and the things to be able to shore up and to fill the cracks in your foundation tonight, because He loves you. Because He cares. And because He has good thoughts and plans. And this is part of His good plan. For you to be able to take care of those things so that, how many know you've seen the streets and highways? We get a little crack in the pavement or something like that, or the weather comes, the water goes in there, it freezes and it tears the pavement up. If you don't fix it, then you got a big pothole. The roads are bad. They're going to destroy vehicles, you know, bend wheels, flatten tires. Maybe even cause you to have a wreck. Satan wants you to have a train wreck. Remember, he hates the Word. So he didn't want you to be focused on the Word, because if you're focused on the Word, you're not going to stumble. And if you do stumble, you're going to run right away and get it taken care of. And God's giving us the equipment tonight through the Word and through this message to be able to put the mortar on and shore up those places where our foundation may have some cracks. I didn't say it was crumbling. I didn't say it was falling apart. I said may have a crack. Amen? Let's go on. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's what he says about that. He's not done speaking yet. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Okay, what does that mean? That means if you make a mistake, you're not doing the will of God, so it's finished? The game's over? No. But he who does the will of my Father. And that, what does God say? Repent. Confess and forsake your wrongdoing. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. God's not holding against you. The only way it stays as a mark against you is if you don't repent, confess it, and turn away from it, and put it in God's hands. You're not trusting in God. You're trusting in the things you see and the things going on. Don't do that. I trusted in those things, and look what happened. I not only affected me adversely, but I affected my granddaughter adversely. This is just one example. Y'all know that I love my kids, my grandkids, and I would never do anything to hurt them knowingly. And yet I did. I mean, it just snuck in there. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And this is red letters, folks. So it's Jesus talking. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What God's saying there is if you continue in the vein you're going in, if you spurn the Word of God, if you spurn the Word of God, and if you spurn Him, which is what you're doing when you spurn the Word of God, then you will die in lawlessness. But if you will do what caused you to become saved in the beginning, in the first place, and run to Him and say, God, I've made a mistake. I'm not perfect. I did wrong. And if you can't put your finger on and say out loud, if necessary, exactly what it was you did wrong, then probably you're being lied to. There's fear and intrepidation in your life, and the enemy's having his way and a heyday in your life. And all God's waiting for is for you and I to stand up and say, I am sorry, Lord. I acknowledge this. I don't know why I feel the way I feel. I don't know why I'm broken down and wounded and disheartened and heartbroken. But Lord, I put it in your hands. And what did He promise? You'd be forgiven, number one. Number two, He'd remove it as far as the east is from the west. And He'd cause restoration and reconciliation to come into your life. Instantly. Not down the road in the sweet by and by, but instantly. I went to sleep and slept the rest of the night peacefully. I'd made it right with God. And nobody knew it except Him and me. Now, I know there's still some things He requires of me as far as my granddaughter's concerned. If He tells me, I'll go to my daughter and son and tell them I messed up. But I'm going to make it right with her and I'm going to tell her because Grandpa always tells her the truth. And then it's in God's hands. God is the one who brings the reconciliation, the restoration. God is the one who turns those things that were meant for our harm to good. I want to paint another picture for you real quickly. The Holy Spirit just impressed me. You know, the enemy comes in and he tries to steal the Word. And of course, what he wants to do is he wants to beat us down. He wants to destroy us through emotions and feelings. Sometimes we can't even explain what they are, but we got these feelings and these thoughts in our mind. What would you, as a parent, do if some bully was picking on your kids? I can tell you what I'd do. They better be running for the hills because I'm coming to get you. And I'm not playing around. I mean business. We're going to confront that. We're going to confront that thing, and you're not going to pick on my kids anymore. You want to be a bully, you go someplace else. But don't you bring it here, because we're going to fight. We're going to fight. And once again, I'm in it to win. You know why? My daddy's backing me up, and he's bigger than your daddy. He's bigger than your daddy. See, God's the same way. But you know, sometimes we incapacitate Him because we won't do what He tells us to do. We've got these thoughts in our head and we think we know what we're talking about. I think the scripture said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know that you can harm yourself by those kind of attitudes and then harm others? Moving right along. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. When the winds of disappointment, the winds of disobedience blow, and the accusations to come to say, "What, you know, man, you call yourself a Christian? Give me a break." When those things come, what did he say to us? Call upon me in the time of trouble. And I'll just paraphrase it by saying in the time of attack, in the time of disillusionment, in the time of fear, in the time of intrepidation. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. He said, the righteous run into me. Well, let's go back up a little bit. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. If tonight, for some reason, you don't feel safe, then maybe it's time you got saved again. Because salvation is every day. It's new every day. How many remember getting booster shots as kids? You go in and get a shot and then all of a sudden, I know Gene remembers being a nurse, but you get booster shots to keep it going. Well, that's what it is every day, a new day in the Lord, a booster shot for your salvation. It's not going to affect the fact that you're saved in eternity, but what about today? And that's what this message is about, is showing you that God is still very much involved and wants to be involved and working in your life. And yet he says, and he has the question, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not? Whose fault is it? Yours and mine. If we don't let him when he comes, if we don't heed those words, if we don't let him wrap his arms of love around us, it's our fault. Once again, one of the scariest things and one of the most hurtful things in my life is having the feeling that God is not right there by my side. And he didn't move. I did. I'm reminded of the song that says, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Waiting patiently in line. Amen. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See, ladies and gentlemen, we not only have a responsibility to God for us, but we have a responsibility to God for others. And we need to understand our actions, our thoughts, our emotions, what we let control us and affect us in an adverse way, not only affects us, but they affect those around us. Who do you love tonight? Who do you love tonight? Do you love God? Do you love your children? Do you love your grandchildren? Do you love your husband? Do you love your wife? And are you willing to do anything for them? And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings. Well, that's verse 28. I'm not going to go there. Well, I will finish it out. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe or a false teacher. I added the false teacher. Praise God. If you came in here tonight insecure, not knowing if God loves you or still loves you, or if he really cares about you, then you should not leave here tonight with that feeling still intact. I've openly admitted that I made a mistake. It wasn't my plan to do harm, but it did harm, and God revealed it to me. Why? So he could make me feel bad? Or so that I could do the right thing and build his kingdom? Praise the Lord. I'm watching for the cracks in my foundation now. How about you? I'm watching for those cracks now. And when they come, I'm not going to let them stay. God is changing me. He's growing me. He's growing you too. Don't be the one who would not. Be the one who did. Amen? Remember the three little pigs. One built his house out of straw. And the enemy came, the wolf came, and he blew the house down. The next little pig built his house out of wood, not on a solid foundation. And the wolf or the enemy came and blew that house down. But when all three pigs ran into the brick house, they were safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And no matter what the enemy did, he couldn't destroy that house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that I think when God restores, He makes it better than the original. An example of that, I think Harry's, has broken some pieces of wood before and glued them back together, and he's got some kind of glue that that if that piece of wood breaks again, it's not going to break where it did before, because it's that part that was repaired is stronger than it was from the beginning. So, and like you say, when He restores, it's better than it was in the beginning. So.
Amen. It's not just slapped together in a haphazard way. It's better than original. Amen. Amen. And that's the key. And that's why we have to trust Him. He'll reveal the places that we're weak so that we can be strong and stronger than we were originally. Amen. And Gene, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it true that once a bone's broken, if it heals the right way, it's as strong or stronger than it was originally? Stronger. Ah, glory to God. You think God might be trying to show us something here? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need prayer? I'm excited in God. I can't help it. Because no matter where I go, no matter what happens, no matter what situation I run into, I know, I feel, and I see the love of God. And I know, I sense His loving arms wrapped around me. And He's pointing me in the right direction. And that's what He's doing for all of us. That's what He wants to do for every one of us. If you're struggling with anything tonight, God has just given you the key to the kingdom that's to build you up, pull you out of the prison that you're in, and set you free. Don't leave here feeling isolated and alone, like you've passed any and all hope for your life. Don't leave here tonight with that burden on your life. God loves you. The reason for this message is not only to help me, but to help you. And it's not just for the situation I just spoke about, something inadvertent, but even if it was something where you really messed up. And I happen to not believe that there's anybody in this room that's messed up to that point. And the other thing is, when I do something wrong, I know it's wrong. I don't have to guess. And I don't sit and wonder about it. I know. I'm able to verbalize what it was that I did wrong or what makes me feel the way that I felt, that I feel. Don't leave here tonight without victory. Don't leave here tonight without being set free. Know that you're in a safe place. This is the sanctuary of God, as the song that Gene wrote. This is a safe place, a sane place. Don't leave here with the enemy tormenting you. God's there. He wants to answer. He wants to set you free. And when you're set free, what? Free indeed. And then what does He say? Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't let the lies, don't let the deceptions come back. Amen? Don't let them come back. Look Him right in the eye. You've got the authority. God gave you the authority. We just read it. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And God's freely given it to me, and I freely give it to you. He gave it to us in the beginning. And Adam and Eve messed up. But Jesus came and restored it, just as if it had never happened. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. See, the cool thing about being here is nobody's sitting in judgment over you. Nobody's pointing an accusing or condemning finger at you. That's why it's a secure and a safe and a sane place, and why it's sanctuary. Amen? Stand with me for just a moment, if you will, please. If nobody has anything. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people. I lift up everyone who's here, Lord. And I know you see. It can't be hidden. It can't be denied, Lord. You see. And Father, I thank you right now that by the Holy Spirit, Lord, comfort, peace, joy, enlightenment, illumination, wisdom, understanding is coming to every person here. Lord, that your word has gone in and it's accomplished what it was sent to do tonight, Lord. And right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that we are free. We just take this time, Lord, corporately to say, Father, forgive us for everything, for anything. What we know, what we don't know, what we see, what we haven't seen, what we feel is a possibility or we know is a pure lie. Lord, we thank you for forgiving us, Lord. And we do repent. We want to make it right. And now, Lord, we thank you for your love coming down, engulfing and enwrapping us, Lord, healing our thoughts, our emotions, healing our fears and our distrust, our misgivings and apprehensions, Lord. We're healed in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we're free to go in your name, to continue to be your children, to have a mighty and powerful effect in this earth. We thank you for your word once again. We thank you that it's sealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of promise. And now, Lord, we declare we are free. Now bless your people. Go with them. Thank you, Lord, that your face and countenance shine upon them, that your wisdom, insight, mercy, and grace go with them, Lord. And we just thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Amen.